So welcome to the final week of Pulse and to the final week of our summer exploration into what God might do inside of these vessels that he's given to each one of us, our human lives. So the first 3 weeks of this journey, we took you on a head, heart, and hand adventure. Maybe you recall some of those moments where we thought, you know, we can know about God in our cerebral cortex. We can get him into our brain, our knowledge. But it has to trickle down that longest journey, 18 inches, from your head to your heart. God wants to do a new thing. He wants to take hearts which are hardened and make them hearts of flesh. And then he wants it to flow out into our hands so that we can be light for him in this world. And so we took you on that head, heart, and hand journey. And then we went into this pulse. We wanted to make sure that we all were quite aware of some of the dynamics that it takes to have a head, heart, and hand journey. That we have to pay attention. That we have to understand empathy. We just do. We have to love with this connectedness. We have to sense the sacredness, and we have to embody new life. But you know, I got to be real honest with you. I get to that last part of the journey, embody new life, and I hit walls all the time. There are times that I'm on track with God, and I'm sure you're in the same place. We come into a worship place like this, we sing a song like Wonder. If you have so say, if you've seen his beauty, say it. And we're like, I'll say it. I'm here. We see baptisms and we are so stoked and excited about Abigail and Marin and their future. I'm sure as parents you are too. What a joy it is to think of their steps along the way. But then something happens, life happens, and it gets complex. And this new life that we've been given becomes marginalized, I believe, by the world that we live in. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, Paul says this, if you are in Christ, you're a new creation. The old is gone, and the new has come. I love that verse. I try to remind myself about that verse all the time because I end up, it just is all the time happening to me. Where I begin as new, I have everything in my heart's desire to want to be the new creation, and I end up like finding my way back to the old. Any takers in here? That's what happens to us. And I don't want you to give up today. I want to be able to put the big finish to our Pulse series. I want your pulse to rage and beat fast for God. But I also recognize there are obstacles. I'd like to address those obstacles this morning, at least a few of them, so that you might know that this is going to be a little tough sometimes to be the new creation you were created to be, and that's okay. But we have a God who wants your pulse to beat strong. We have a God who wants to make everyone in this room a new creation. But there are some things that get in the way. So here are just a few. They're not linearly connected. They're independent thoughts. They kind of go together. And hopefully over the course of the next week or so, you'll begin to think about how you can push back the darkness and allow for the old to really go away and the new to come. So the first thing I'd like to just pop into your brains today and into your thought process is if we're going to be new creations, we have to want it. We have to want it. Sounds simple, doesn't it? We have to really want. We have to make it a priority. In fact, it can't be second or third on a list of things that are important to us. It has to be number one. It has to be the filter through which everything is filtered, and every thought is thought, every action is engaged. We have to want it. So this past week, we are heading to the final day of the Leadership Summit. Every year, Willow Creek Community Church has this wonderful adventure for a couple of days where you dive into some of the business world and its best knowledge. join it together with our faith journey, and we learn and we grow, and leadership is right there at the focus. And so we're getting ready, Idalyn and I, to go over to Community Christian Church, to the yellow box. And so we had to stop at Starbucks first to get a little coffee. So I pulled up to the drive-thru, and there's the screen, and I hear this pleasant voice, "Good morning!" Well, I respond back, "Good morning to you too!" Having this great conversation with a face I can't see. They take our order. I come around, and I figured, well, we're just going to get coffee and move. Well, the window opens, and it's a real live person who says, "How's your day today?" And I'm like, "It's great. How about yours?" "It's beautiful. It's a beautiful 70-degree Friday morning. What could be better? And what are you doing today?" the person asked me. "I'm going to the leadership summit." "What's that?" Our first drink comes out, still happy, still nice, engaging. I said, "It's a great think tank. It's a great place. Willow Creek Community Church puts this on, best business acumen, and it connects with our Jesus walk." Boom. Drink comes, second drink, window closes. Not so friendly anymore. I pulled away and I said to my wife, "I guess they really didn't want to know about Jesus." But it wasn't that far from that point. It was easy to point the finger back at that person. I had to really be honest. If I really wanted it, as I pulled and started to head to Community Christian Church, if I really wanted it, I would have pulled into one of the stalls and I would have gone back in the store and told her about Jesus. And you can imagine how that would have gone. And sometimes these walls come up. They just come up. And we give in and we have this perfect moment where God says, "You could have infused my introduction into a person's life in a creative way, and you back off because other things become more important. I had to get to a leadership summit. I had things to do, and my thoughts were quickly moving in other directions." And you know how the whole life thing goes. You come to church and you are amped up for God. You feel like you are the new creation, and then as soon as you leave here, other things begin to find their way ahead of God. Your family, getting the kids off to school for the first day, making sure meals are made, making sure you're in relationship with friends, even work. Even though we may not all like what we do, work becomes a priority because we have to go to get a paycheck to take care of our families. And that cycle just keeps pushing us over and over and over. It's like a treadmill, and God drops in priority every time. I mean, we watch more preseason football than we do spending time with God. Any of you see the 109-yard return for a touchdown? Yeah, I did last night. I was watching it, and I'm thinking to myself, why is it that that commands so much time? Why do we watch more TV? Why do we spend more time on things we want? Why do we do things that are important to us? When God is saying, if you allow me to be first in your life, if you want me as your commander and guide, your life will be in its perfect environment. Do we trust that? I sometimes have to be honest today. I don't. There's a thing called quiet time that is a part of my life. And what ends up happening, spending that quiet time in the morning with God, it sometimes vanishes and seems to get pushed to the side because there are other things which are more important. I've got to get to meetings, and I've got to make sure things are taken care of, and I'm running late, and the alarm didn't go off, and what's all of that about? And if I would just stop and allow God to breathe into my life as first, he would remain first, hopefully. We've got to want God to be first in our life if we're going to be a new creation. Second thing I want you to think of today is leading always with grace. Leading always with grace. Now, the first place I want grace to be led is right into the core of your existence, because the one thing that we all are in this room, we are broken individuals. What is grace? It is God's love that just pours out on top of us, forgives us, renews us, makes us whole. It is the cross of Jesus Christ where he dies, rises to new life so that our inadequacies may be filled with his power and strength, and we are someone. But how often do we not believe that? How often do any of us say, "You mean me, God? You love me? This broken mess, you love me?" And God's shouting. He is shouting at us with joy in his heart, "Yes, I love you." And we can't hear because we have not led with grace. I would hope every person in this room would allow for God to soothe you with his healing power of grace. That no matter how inadequate you might feel sometimes to be the person that God says, "I'm putting you in the game of life. And I will have opportunities for you to be a new creation. I want the old to go away. I want something new to come." And if you trust that and receive his grace, phenomenal things can happen. So every now and again, we do receive his grace, and we're like, "Yeah, I feel good." And then what do? We go out and we engage life, and we forget the grace that we've been given needs to be given to somebody else. So I don't know how you felt after Barcelona happened just the other day, or the news out of Finland, or Charlottesville, which is just still a huge part of the conversation right now. And you can go to Berlin, and you can go to Paris, and you can go to Nice, and you can go to a myriad of places on the face of this earth where people have been doing things which are just uncalled for. They're atrocities. And when it comes close to our backyard here in the United States, when people are rising up with white supremacy, with neo-Nazi thoughts, and they're saying, "I believe in Jesus." Do you? Sometimes, with some of the scripture, and that's the problem, and it marginalizes everything, and so this hate comes rushing in to our lives. I've gotten amped up over the course of the last few weeks. Ask my wife. You know, the hate comes, and what do? I want to push it down. I want to push it back down. I want to get angry. And anger is the seed of hatred. I did what I knew I needed to do this week. I went to Jesus. And I read this: "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this everyone will know you are my disciples, if you love one another." Matthew 6 says, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive others their sins, your Father won't forgive you." Jesus says this, Matthew 5, "But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other cheek also. You have heard that it's said," Matthew 5 goes on to say, "love your neighbor, hate your enemy. But I'm going to tell you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you." Ephesians 4 encourages us, "In your anger, don't sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. It gives the devil a foothold." And we're encouraged to what's been known in Galatians 5 as the fruits of the Holy Spirit. They are love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. I was searching as I was convicted for maybe a foothold, and then I found it. Romans 12, it says, "Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil." And I'm like, "Yeah, I've got it." And then I read a little further. It says, "Bless those who persecute you. bless, do not curse them. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave that to God. Maybe you've heard it say, vengeance is mine, declares the God, Lord God. You know, I was convicted. I really was. I was convicted because I can get amped up. And, you know, it's not only in this white supremacy zone, but, you know, I've got this huge plan for what to do with drug dealers. And Jesus would not like my plan. And when I get there, it's not good. Because what's happening in my life is anger and hatred, and I think they're justified, but they're not, because there's one thing Scripture tells us. 1 John 4:8 says God is love. Somehow we got to figure this out. To lead with grace, not only the grace that we get from God, because we're willing to get that grace, we all want to be forgiven, but the forgiveness and the grace we give to other people. Does God love white supremacists? Scripture tells us yes. Does he like what they do and stand for? No. Does God love neo-Nazis? Yes. They're created in his image like we were. Does he like what they stand for and do? No. And for us to just get filled with hatred and anger does nothing to forward the love of Jesus Christ. And it is a hard lesson to learn, but if we're going to be a new creation, the old has to go, and we have to begin to put on love. And so this week I'm reading from some of my friends online, Michael Chitwood, who is the head of Team World Vision and now over the churches within World Vision's care. He wrote this day, you know, all of these big issues are macro issues, if you know what that means, big issues. So there's a lot of macro aggression going on. This is what Michael said to look for. Microaggression. Things which are in your soul that pull you away from things which are good. Our Bishop Wayne Miller wrote to all of us, his pastors and leaders of the church, and he condemned, which we do, white hatred and supremacy and neo-Nazism and alt-right. He condemned it, which we will stand on the love of Jesus Christ only. Let's make that sure. But he also said, be careful, because human beings are prone to an infection of their soul. It's called sin. I think it's good for us all today, if we want to be a new creation, we have to cast out, we have to want God to be our primary filter, and we have to cast out those moments where sin rages, and we try to make it look like Jesus, and all it is sin. So the third thing I want you to do, when you want it, when you lead with grace, is I want you to think about being intentional and then expect God to show up. You know, I don't know why it is, but we think this thing that we do as Christ followers is that we baptize and then everything's fine. Sealed, and you know, you're going to be hermeneutically sealed so that nothing could ever invade you, and that's false. There's a big world that's going to try to invade you. These two girls, the reason why we ask parents to take for them, their journey, is you have to protect your kids, and you know that already. Raise them up with that protection that God brings, and we all need it. And in baptism, we can be reminded that God is setting us on a journey, to be reminded that we're claimed by him. Just doesn't happen. It is something that has to be intentional. We have to want it. He's the filter. We have to lead with grace. We have to be intentional. How many of you ever tried to lose a few LBs? Anybody? A few pounds? You know, when you're not intentional, it doesn't go so well, does it? Like for a week, it might go okay. Maybe 2 weeks, and you might, you know, stand on the scale and say, yeah, I'm doing it. But if you don't stay with it, man, they'll come back raging wildly into your life. And you'll probably have more weight on than when you first started. Same thing with getting in physical shape. If I asked you all to come out with me right now and run 5 miles, some of you go, yeah, I'm in. Others of you'd say, no, not even 5 minutes. Can't do it. No, it takes time. It takes dedication. It takes intentional desire to be in front of something that you want to attain. Every morning, and I've shared this with this community before, my wife and I pray before I head off to do what I do and what she does. We pray for our kids. We give thanks to God for the blessings he has put on us as human beings. And then we pray this. And we pray it in different ways, but it always has the same outcome, the same intent. Usually goes something like this. God, you know who we are today. You know our vessels. You know where we're at. But use us today, Lord, to make a difference in your kingdom. If there's someone our lives have to become engaged with, allow us to find that moment and to shine brightly for you. We leave. We don't know when it's going to happen. We don't know where it's going to happen. I am sure I've probably missed some of the times when God's been knocking. Oh, he's probably been dumping water on my head, trying to wake me up, and I've missed it. Kind of like Starbucks, but I've missed it. But the reality is God continues to come, and he taps us on the shoulder, and he wants us to become the new life, and he wants all old to go and the new to come. And if we're intentional, he will show up. So I was out for a run this past week, early in the week, and I was running in South Naperville. That's where I live. And there's this stretch of territory that is Will Forest Preserve, Will County Forest Preserve, and it's right along the river, the south edge of the DuPage River. It's beautiful. There's a path that is tree-lined, and it's an old roadway. And I love coming up and running some loops in there. It just calms and quiets my soul. Well, as I'm running the other day and I'm running up this old pathway, all of a sudden up in the far distance, I see there's someone walking, and they're walking with a kind of a stilted gait. They're not just naturally moving forward. And as I get closer, I realize it's a young girl, and I know I've seen her before. I have watched her as I've run past her before, and I've watched her walk along 111th Street as she's crossing Route 59, and she has a brace on her leg. And the brace is a little different than just a natural boot or a cast. It's a halo. And so she has a big metal rim around her knee, a big circle, another one around her calf, and another one around her ankle, and then there are bars that run from the metal circles into her skin in her leg, and she's walking. My assumption is she's walking for therapy. So as I go by, I kind of waved, I had my headphones in, and she did as well, and just kept running. It's probably a quarter mile further up the path that all of a sudden I had this pain. And it wasn't anything to do with my legs or my breathing. It had everything to do with my heart. I started to think, what's her story? What's going on in her life? What has she had to do to get to that place in her life? And I started to really feel convicted. It was a weird kind of moment. I was going to run back in that area as I did a big loop. And this wildest, craziest thought came into my mind. I think, God, you want me to stop and talk to her. I think you want me to get to know her. So as I kept running and I'm thinking and it's messing with my run, but, you know, I'm trying to figure it out. I finally came to the point where I said, okay, if I see her again, I'm going to stop. So the pathway also has a parallel asphalt pathway. And so as I'm running along the river edge, there's the asphalt pathway, and there's brush in between that's grown over the summertime. And so I'm like jumping up thinking, is she over there? As I keep running and I don't see her, and my heart's getting heavy, and I'm like, I missed the moment. Another tapping on my shoulder got, and I missed it. And all of a sudden, I come around the bend, and there she is. She's about 30 yards ahead of me, but But I realize she's talking on the phone. And I think to myself, how am I ever going to interrupt her phone conversation? So as I get closer, I start to realize that she's concluding her phone conversation. So I go about 10 yards beyond her, and I stop running, and I start walking in parallel. Now I'm quite aware that she might call 911. And as I get closer, I'm even more aware that there might be some pepper spray coming my way. So as soon as she hung up, I quickly, you know, this old sweaty dude in running, I walk up to her and I said, "Hi, my name's Greg." And to avoid the pepper spray, I said, "I'm a pastor." She looked at me like with crazy eyes and she's just like, "Yeah?" I said, I've watched you from time to time running. And as I'm running, you're walking. And I don't know, I know something's going on. And she said, "Yeah, I had an accident." I said, "Can I, you know what?" She goes, "I can't talk about it. It's that painful." But she said, "One thing's going to happen. On September 14th, I'm going to be allowed to have this brace taken off my leg. And I'm hoping I'm going to be able to walk naturally again. But I'm really worried because I don't know if that's going to happen." So I looked at her and I said, "Well, can I pray for you?" And she looked back, and it was almost as if she had never had that opportunity to engage with another person before. And I said, "That's what I do. I'd love to pray for you." And she said, "Yeah." I told her where I was a pastor. I told her what I was training for. And she said, "Well, my sister even went to the preschool at your church." Relationship building out of nowhere. And so instead of putting our headphones in and said, "I'll pray for you and keep running," I just figured, "Okay, God, let's take it a full distance. We're deep in the water right now. This is weird. It's feeling like it's what you want." So I just reached out my hand and said, "Can you tell me your first name?" And she said, "Joanne." So I said, "I'm praying for you right now, Joanne." There on this trail, next to the DuPage River, I prayed a prayer of God's blessing over Joanne. "Lord, would you heal Joanne? Would you allow for the 14th of September to be a day when you show up in her life in majestic, marvelous ways? And will you let her know that there are other people pulling for her, Lord, and that there is a big, huge desire to see her be full of life and healing in the days to come?" I prayed in the name of Jesus and said, "Amen." She looked up, tears flowing down her face. Big smile on her face. I put on my hand and we fist bumped. I said, "September 14th, Joanne, every day from now on, I'm praying for you." She said, "I will be thinking about you too. Good luck in the Chicago Marathon." Put my headphones in. I ran. Where does God use us? Everywhere, if we are willing to prioritize Him as first, if we're willing to receive grace and then give that grace back, and if we are willing to be intentional and not let all of the stuff of life just gobble us up, but to put God first and to have everything just come through His power, He wants to make us new creations. Where the old is gone and the new has come.